Hello, it's Peter here. As you'll have heard in this month's news section, we were very sad to hear about the death of Sylvia Pryor, who was a major asset to the Talking newspaper for many years, as a committee member, a newsreader, and as a magazine contributor. Over a period of many years, I used to go to her house to record magazine items, and also to look at the incredible collection of books that she had. To help us to remember Sylvia, we're now going to play one of her many contributions to the magazine, and this one is about the origin of nursery rhymes and was first included in our October 2016 edition.
Hello, Sylvia here. I don't know how old you are, of course, but with the rapid changes of so many things nowadays, even younger people may feel a bit in my day. Long before the advent of newspapers and then radio and television, and of course Tinternet, newsworthy events were often recounted in song forms performed by travelling musicians. I remember the first televisions. Often only one family in a street had one, and when the Queen was crowned in 1953, that family would suddenly find itself very popular as everyone in the street crowded into the sitting room to watch this iconic event. Not only have things changed, but speech and language have radically altered. Do young people still quote and sing nursery rhymes to their little ones? It was a good introduction to the rhythm and flow of speech and knowledge of words. Talking of nursery rhymes, here's a brief resume of what they actually referred to. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. Illustrations usually show Humpty as a large egg, but Humpty Dumpty was a cannon used by royalist forces in the Civil War in 1642. Royalists overpowered the Parliament's stronghold of Colchester, but were encircled by parliamentarians and besieged. Humpty Cannon was situated on top of the church tower of St Mary's at the Walls. Hence, Humpty sat on the wall. The gunners held the roundheads at bay for 11 weeks, but when the top of the church tower was blown away, Humpty crashed deep into marshland. Hence the great fall. The king's cavalry, horses and infantry tried to retrieve the cannon, but they couldn't put Humpty together again and were thus overrun by the roundheads. Half a pound of tuppenny rice, half a pound of treacle. That's the way the money goes. Pop goes the weasel. In the late 1600s, the poor and immigrants lived outside the city of London Wall and slaved away at the sweatshops of the textile industry. A spinner's weasel was a mechanical thread measuring device that accurately measured out yarn, making a popping sound to indicate when the correct length had been reached. Rider Cock Horse appears to refer to the famous naked ride of Lady Godiva in the 11th century, when the Earl of Mercia tried to impose heavy taxes on his countrymen, which caused great unrest. His wife sympathised with the common people and urged him to lower the new taxes. He apparently replied he would only do so after she'd ridden naked through the streets of Coventry. She agreed. The people of Coventry agreed to stay indoors, close their shutters, and look the other way as she rode by naked, apart from her wedding rings on her fingers, and bells attached to her toes to remind people not to look out of their windows. Only Tom the tailor peeped out from his shutters, hence the expression, Peeping Tom. Georgie Porgie, Pudding and Pie kissed the girls and made them cry. When the boys came out to play, Georgie Porgie ran away. We're now in the late 17 to 1800s. Georgie is believed to be Prince Regent George IV, who was overly fond of his food, drink and lechery. He hated his wife, Caroline of Brunswick, who he barred from his coronation. He couldn't marry his mistress, Maria Anne Fitzherbert, as she was a Roman Catholic and he'd never be allowed to marry her, So both women were miserable, hence kissed the girls and made them cry. Apart from additional mistresses, illegitimate children, probably from maidservants or anyone else who would not dare say no to him. When the boys came out to play, Georgie Porgy ran away, may refer to his love of watching bare-knuckle boxing, which was illegal. When one contestant died of his injuries, the prince, who was present, didn't want to be implicated, and hence Georgie Porgy ran away. Here's my favourite. Sing a song of sixpence, a pocket full of rye, 4 and 20 blackbirds baked in a pie. When the pie was opened, the birds began to sing. Oh, wasn't that a dainty dish to set before the king? The king was in his counting house, counting out his money. The queen was in the parlour, eating bread and honey. The maid was in the garden, hanging out the clothes, when down came a blackbird and pecked off her nose. In the late 1600s to early 1700s, there was a famous pirate operating in the Caribbean called Blackbeard. Several nations wanted to end his depredations on their shipping, and there was a price on his head. So when recruiting a new crew, to entice them, the pay was good, and he offered a leather pouch with a litre of grog, hence pocket full of rye. His ploy to lure other vessels would be to pretend his ship was in distress. He kept 24 of his pirates lying in wait, the 24 blackbirds baked in a pie. So when the prey ship drew alongside to offer assistance, Blackbeard's men would appear, uttering fearsome shouts and screams. When the pie was opened, the birds began to sing. The king was in his counting house, counting out his money, refers to Blackbeard checking his spoils. A slang word for ships laden with treasure was maid, and the waters round the Caribbean were known as the garden. Hence, the maid was in the garden. When down came a blackbird and pecked off her nose. Probably Blackbeard's pirates, his birds, who were always poised to launch an attack on a ship, to peck off her nose or steal all her treasure before the victim's crews would realise what was about to happen. Thanks to Albert Jack's book on the secret meanings of nursery rhymes for this enlightenment. I wrote this script some months ago, and amazingly enough, this very morning, there's an item in my daily paper, How Mother's Songs Give Girls a Head Start. Girls have better literacy skills before they start school because mothers are more likely to sing nursery rhymes to them while boys play sports, which means boys are almost twice as likely as girls to fall behind on the basic language skills by the time they start school. So keep on with the nursery rhymes. Bye for now.